Praise the Lord. Saved and you know it, say amen. Saved and happy about it, say amen. What a wonderful atmosphere. We come not to take anything away from what's already happening, what's already going on in this house. We want the will of God to be done, don't we? We want God's divine, perfect will to be accomplished. It will. Amen. And these in this altar, you know, Jesus preached a while, prayed for a few sick folk, they got healed. He'd preach another little while, stop and pray for some more sick folk, help them, see people saved, then he'd preach some more. So I believe God can help us right here tonight. God is doing a work, and the Spirit of the Lord's already speaking to us. Amen. We're going to look tonight, the Lord will help me. 1 Samuel chapter 15. It'd have been all right with me for them just to keep it going. God must have a reason for us to speak what He's spoken in our spirit. I have fought over this message for weeks now and wrestled it. So here we are. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to read in verse number 10 for the sake of time. Tell you what, we're going to tell so much, we'll get into the story here. So we'll skip on over. Verse number 16, we'll start because I'll tell you more about the story. If we could stand for the reading of the word. Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night." I want you to listen to the attitude of Saul, who has rebelled against God, has not done what the Lord has told him to do. His attitude, when the man of God says, "Stay, I'm going to tell you what God has said to me this night," he said unto him, "Say on." Without any fear. "Say on." Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed thee king over Israel. The Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them till they be consumed.' Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, this evil in the sight of the Lord?" Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea." He's arguing. Samuel represents the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. He's the man of God. He is the seer. He is the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God moved through a certain vessel, through a certain prophets. And he argues with him. And he said, and the Lord sent thee, and he said, "Wherefore didst thou not obey?" And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Now I have gone the way which the Lord has sent me. Now I have brought again Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected thee from being king." Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee," listen to this, "pardon my sin, turn again with me that I may worship the Lord." Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned to go about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. Samuel said unto him, "The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he's not a man that he should repent." Then he said, "I have sinned, yet honor me." Now listen, he goes even further. I said, all right. I mean, he just heard that God had rent the kingdom from him. And the thing he's worried about the most, he says unto him, "Just turn with me. Just come back with me." He said, "I have sinned, yet honor me, I pray thee, before the elders of my people, before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God." He already separates us. He didn't say, he said, "thy God." And the Bible says, so Samuel turned again after Saul. And Saul worshiped the Lord. A rejected man worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, "Being ye hither to me, Agag the king of the Amalekites?" And Agag came to him delicately, and Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." But don't you read verse 34, and the Bible said, "Then went Samuel, when the service was over, went to Ramah, and Saul went up to the house of God of Gilboa of Saul. Samuel came no more to see Saul till the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made him Saul king over Israel." Father God of heaven, in the name of Jesus, you have been in this house already in a strong way. You have prepared us for this word. Father, I have wrestled with this so strong in my spirit to the point, God, I've almost been sick at my stomach. But I ask you tonight to anoint me, use me to preach this precious group of people. God, that has done their best and is doing their best to hold to the truths of thy word. To have a camp meeting here where people could come and be blessed and hear the word. I pray I take nothing away from anything but only add to what you're doing. Lord, help my incapability. Speak through me as only you can speak through me. Touch the hearts of this people. Father, if you will touch their hearts. Lord, if you will change them. I can do nothing but preach what you've said to me to preach. You bring the change. Meet with us now. In the name of Jesus we pray. All the church said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. How many is going to stay with me a while tonight? Amen. Praise God. It's just 8:13. Amen. I got the pulpit somewhere around 8 last night, so we're somewhere about right the same time. So anybody all right if I just preach tonight? Amen. So as we begin to look at the Word of God tonight, we are going to begin to talk about a time in Israel when God had given them what they desired. The Bible said they looked around all the other nations and they had kings. God had provided them a man of God. The Bible says the Spirit of God would come on. There was prophets in the Old Testament that God would speak through. If you needed to hear from God, or you needed a word from God, or you needed prayer, you had to seek the man of God. You had to seek the prophet. And so anywhere we see the prophet in the Old Testament, he represents the Holy Ghost that came, amen, in the New Testament and filled all of us. Now we don't have to hunt a prophet. We can pray ourselves. We don't have to hunt the pastor to pray for us. We can pray for our own selves. Amen. 3 o'clock in the morning, I can lay hands on my own children. Can you say amen? And so as we begin to see God had designed, planned, and had destined it, that the children of Israel didn't need a king. All they needed was the man of God. Where the man of God dealt with them to go, there to go. What God has said is what needs to be done. But the Bible said the children of Israel desired them a king. They wanted to be just like all the other kingdoms. They wanted to be like all the other nations. Give us a king like everybody else has got. You're going to help me tonight, aren't you? And so as we begin to see this, God says, all right, you want you the king? I'm going to give you a king. You're going to lose what you had with me. Amen. Because all you needed was me. Amen. All you needed was my man. All you needed was my prophet. All you needed was the Bible. When the men of God, the prophets of God, would come to town, fear would grip the people because the Word of God was coming. God was going to speak. Most of the time it wasn't, amen, like a lot of this new charisma stuff. Yea, I'm going to bless you. Yea, I'm going to give you a new house, give you a new car. But it was messages like we heard tonight. Get your heart right. Your lips are saying one thing, but your heart's in another way. I am the master potter, and you are the clay. I come to change you. That's the kind of word that the Holy Ghost, that's the kind of word the men of God came with. Amen. Amen. When he spoke most of the time, amen, it was to cause them to repent, to bring them under conviction. And so we begin to find that God says, all right, you want, I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you a man. I'm going to give you a king. So God begins to search. God says, I found me a boy, amen, by the name of Saul, amen, in this little tribe, amen, one of the poorest tribes, one of the poorest families. God says, I'm going to give you what you desire. So the Bible says that, amen, in a certain light, the first few chapters before this, amen, that Saul's just a young man. I preached this at youth camp one time. Amen, on hunting daddy's donkeys. Amen. The Bible said that Saul's just a normal kid, just a normal young boy. All of a sudden one day, amen, his daddy says, you make sure, amen, them donkeys get locked up. You make sure the gates close. That was his daily routine of what he's supposed to do. But somewhere during the night, amen, them donkeys got out. The gate got open, amen, and somehow another, can't you see Saul the next morning when his daddy wakes him up and says, Saul, I thought I told you, amen, to lock them donkeys up. I thought I told you to shut the gate. Amen. I can see Saul, as he probably said, but I did, Dad. Amen. Well, why is the gate open? Somehow it got open. Saul had no clue that God, amen, had let them donkeys loose. Amen. There was a reason for it. There's a purpose for it. It's just an ordinary day in a young farmer boy's life. Amen. The gate, somebody, he can't, he's so convinced. Why is the gate? Amen. Or either he might have left it up, but just, they don't say that in the scriptures, just that the donkeys went missing. Amen. But for my own scripture, amen, my own mind to say it, amen, I believe it might have happened that way. Saul says, but Dad, I did shut it. But amen, some reason or another, they're gone. He said, I don't care what you say. The gate's open. The donkeys are gone. You got to find them before night. Amen. You got to get them. You got to find them. So Saul sets out with his daddy's servants and begins to hunt the donkeys. The Bible says as they begin to travel, they're looking everywhere. Cannot find the donkeys anywhere. And so all of a sudden they said, we're going to turn back. But they see some women at a well. You're with me tonight, aren't you? The Bible says that they walked up to the women at the well and said, have you seen my donkeys? Have you seen my daddy's donkeys? The women looked at him and said, no, sir, we haven't seen your daddy's donkeys or any donkeys. Said, but I tell you what, today's your blessed day. Amen. What do you mean? Well, today I hear that the man of God, the prophet of God, is headed to that mountain over yonder. And if you'll just keep walking up this road right here, I believe you're liable to run into him. Amen. Praise God. Amen. What do you mean? He's headed to that mountain and I guarantee you that prophet will know where them donkeys are. So Saul heads out with his servants up the road. Amen. But what Saul don't know is that the Word of God had whispered in the ear of Samuel and said, I found me a king that I'm going to anoint. Said, how am I going to know? You're going to know me. You're going to meet him tomorrow. Amen. Where these two ways meet, you're going to meet him. And he's going to ask you, where is his daddy's donkeys? Amen. So Saul sets out to find a bunch of donkeys. Amen. It's just an ordinary day in the life of Saul. But I'm going to shut my eyes. I come to tell you today, it may be an ordinary day in your life. Amen. But God's going to meet you right here tonight. I said, God's going to meet you here tonight. Amen. Oh, that sister preached this evening on, amen, Nehemiah. It was just an ordinary day that he met just an ordinary friend from his homeland, and he asked an ordinary question that brought about a extraordinary change. He said, how's my father's city doing? Amen. And just an ordinary answer. It's destroyed. The gates are gone. The walls are gone. But it messed Nehemiah's world up. It was just an old glory, just an ordinary day in the life of Saul, but it's about to change. It's just an ordinary day. August the 30th, 1989 don't mean anything to any of you, does it? Unless it's your birthday, amen. But to me, it was just an ordinary day. But before nightfall, before the next morning got there, it became an extraordinary day. Boy drove up in my yard in a red Camaro. Said, "Do you want to go to church with me?" I said, "I don't guess it'll hurt me." Amen. Well, amen. When I got up that morning and the sun went down that evening, didn't know when I woke up the sun the next morning, I'm not going to be the same boy I was. It's an ordinary day in the life of Saul. He's had an ordinary routine. The donkeys are gone. He has no clue he's about to meet with destiny. He has no clue he's about to meet, amen, with a man of God for a purpose. So Saul starts walking up the road. Brother Brady stayed with us. Amen. Come on, Brother Samuel, you come help me. I'm going to use you again. Amen. Praise God. Here comes the man of God walking up the road. About that time, Saul's a coming, and they meet. And Saul says to the man of God, "Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, seer. Excuse me, prophet of God. But I don't want to bother you. I know you headed to do something, but I want to know, can you tell me where my daddy's donkeys are?" Hallelujah. Samuel said, "Oh yes, I can, son. God told me to tell you your daddy's donkeys are back home and they locked up, but you are going with me." Now, but excuse me, sir. I'm just a young boy. Amen. I don't have no reason, no business going with you. All I need is my donkeys and I'm all right. Well, some there at the house, but you're going with me to that mountain. What are you talking about, sir? I don't want to go to the mountain. Oh, yes, sir. You're going with me to that mountain. Amen. God's got a purpose for you. God's got a reason for you. Amen. But hey, I wouldn't expect him to go to that mountain. I would to God some of you get to go to that mountain today. I said, I would to God some of you get to go to that mountain today. Amen. That's all right, Pastor. Praise God. The Bible said that Saul and Samuel went up to the mountain. They had a feast with the Lord. God said to Samuel, and Samuel spoke it to Saul, "I have chosen you to be the king of Israel." Hallelujah. I mean, one day get up, go looking for donkeys, and by nightfall, you're going to be the king. Hallelujah. Ain't it awesome the fact that God sees you long before you even know God was even looking for you? I said, God saw you long before you even started desiring God. Amen. The Bible said Saul wanted to argue with him. We know this because he hid himself several times. And, amen. Who, me? I'm from one of the poorest tribes and one of the poorest families in the poorest tribe. And God wants me to be the king over Israel. He said, how's this going to be? How's this going to come to pass? Samuel said, the Spirit of the living God is going to come upon you and turn you into another man. Whoa! I'm glad, Brother Eastman, this ain't got nothing to do with me, and it ain't got nothing to do with you. In other words, Saul, you leave it up to me. You ain't going to become the king on your own. The Master Potter said, amen, through the Word tonight, I'm the one that's got a master plan, and I got a master design, and I would the church go back to total dependence on the Holy Ghost, on the move of the Spirit of God. Like the young preacher, that older preacher there preaching the meeting, the pastor sent her, his daughter, said, "You go get that man of God, go get the preacher, tell him we're headed to church, we're walking on over." She went down the hall to get him. She went to knock on the door. About the time she heard him praying, she's a little bitty girl. Amen. Like my brother said back here this morning, his boy saying, amen, "Jesus loves me, the Bible." Amen. She's young. She don't understand everything. She went back there, a little 3 or 4 year old girl, going, amen, tell it. About that time, she hears that man of God praying, "I'm not going to go unless you go with me." I'm not going to that pulpit tonight unless you go with me. He's praying, you know. So she won't not. She just went and told her daddy, said, Daddy, said he's a coming and the others are too. Hallelujah. Amen. I would to God tonight that the church would go back to the place. We can't sing without you. We can't preach without you. We can't do anything without the moving of the power of Pentecost. There is a dependency. How's this going to happen? Saul says, even Samuel said, you're going to go down this mountain. You're going to meet some sons of the prophets. And when you do, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you and turn you into another man. So he heads down the mountain, got him some bread, got him some wine. Oh, hallelujah, which represents the written word and the living word. And amen, and the joy and the Holy Ghost. He's headed down the mountain. About that time he meets some prophets, and the Spirit of the living God fell on them. They begin to preach and prophesy, and out of the blue, Saul just started preaching with them. Oh, you ain't hearing what I'm telling you. I mean, he's never prophesied a day in his life. But when he got among the sons of the prophets, amen, the Spirit of God came on him. He preached just like they preached. Hallelujah. I come to tell you, you ain't got to learn how to dance. You ain't got to learn how to shout. You ain't got to learn how to talk in tongues. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, he'll speak for himself. Ain't it amazing? Amen. That people that's never been in Pentecost, when this Holy Ghost comes on them, they act just like Grandma acted. Amen. I said they act just like Grandma acted. How do you? I will never forget it. Amen. My great aunt had open heart surgery. She's, amen, back in the wagon days, amen, car, they got a car during her younger life. Amen. And I was in this my senior year of high school, and I was 1993, first Sunday night of the year, January, the first Sunday night of January, 1993, the Holy Ghost fell in our church, and we didn't get out of church till way into the morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we had one of them powerful moves. It's way out of midnight. I got 17 years old. I got so, or 16 years old. Got so lost in the Holy Ghost that the women in the church had 2 women that had to take me home. Amen. I'm talking about a move of God. I mean, at first, it was my first suit I ever wore that nobody else had wore. And I got it for Christmas. See, I started preaching. I was 14. We didn't have a lot of money, so everything I wore come from Christian Mission or the Goodwill. So I'm so happy, Brother Spencer, that I've got a suit that nobody else has wore. And so I'm at church that night, and you just got to know South Alabama folks. Can I just take my time tonight? Amen. The Holy Ghost is a moving, and you just got to understand. My pastor got up and he said, you know, he said, I feel like I'm not going to ask people to come up and sing tonight, but if you got a song on your heart, I want you to come. Amen. Well, here come one lady. She's always got a song. Amen. Another lady. They all, you know, they sing about every service. But amen. It was over. We had an alcoholic that just got saved 2 weeks before. Amen. Bless his heart. Amen. He's a precious brother. Amen. But he just got saved 2 weeks before, saved from a bad alcoholic life. Amen. He got up, and my pastor's about to preach. He said, all right, everybody's obeyed the Lord. About that time, that old ex-alcoholic stood up, and he said, Pastor, he said, I feel like singing a song. Amen. My pastor said, well, come on. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not making fun of him at all, but he had never learned to sing a day in his life. Couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. He's like myself. Amen. I'm telling you, the drums couldn't get with him. The piano couldn't get with him. The guitar couldn't with him. And the tambourine couldn't get with him. Amen. Praise God. He's up there singing, I know there's a power much greater than I. Coming down from the five master on is a song that one of the men in our area had wrote. Amen. He had heard on a record, but I'm telling you, it come with tears streaming down his cheeks. It come from a fresh heart of love. And I'm telling you, the power of God fell in such a
way. You just got to know South Alabama folks, we're a little different sometimes. Amen. You know, we all worship different sometimes. Can you say amen? Different areas. Amen. But I'm telling you, about the time one of them women stood up, she went to running looking for a broom. Amen. Praise God. She took that broom and said, I'm on. She went to sweeping. I don't know if y'all have ever done that before or not. I hope, amen, you don't fall out with me tonight, but she went to sweeping. Amen. And I know she literally can't sweep the devil out of the church, but it sure made her feel good thinking she did. She went to sweeping. She said, I'm going to sweep the devil out of the church. Swept to the back door, the front door, opened the door and gave him a little kick. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I know she literally can't sweep him out and kick him out. Are you listening to me? Amen. But the foolish things confound the wise. The power of God fell on her. Amen. She's a lady that never moves. The Holy Ghost moves such a power. Amen. I'm telling you, it ended up. Amen. My pastor's 9-year-old boy took off a shouting, went to running. He ran outside. Amen. Some of our young folks started shouting. They ended up in the yard. He's 9 years old, wallering in the leaves, speaking in tongues. God filled him in the Holy Ghost out in the middle of the yard. Well, we went from the inside to the outside. Ended up on the outside. It's my senior year. Got my new suit on. You, anybody been to South Alabama? It's got red clay. Amen. I'm telling you. I've done been prayed. Done, you know how us preachers, we get to shout in the first outpouring and then we pray for everybody. So I've done been shouting. Well, that ex-alcoholic's wife gets started praying. She's outside watching one of the kids. She's crying. Amen. Starts raising her hands wanting the Holy Ghost. Amen. We was praying for her to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, somewhere in the middle of all of that, Holy Ghost fell on me and I got like the Acts chapter 2. I got so drunk in the Spirit, I don't know where I was. I lost myself for 4.5 hours. Are you listening to me? They said I wallered in that dirt clay and crawled in the dirt clay and wallered in it. Said one of our deacons who hadn't moved in 20 years, honey. I mean, 20 years hadn't been having experience with God. He's just a deacon because he's got a good name. You understand? He did have an experience at one time. Amen. He's trying to help me in the car. They said when he got me, started putting me in the car, the Holy Ghost fell on it. He started shouting back out of the car, fell out in the yard, and here I come out, 16-year-old, shouting out of the car again. I come to myself that night. I was halfway home, somewhere way after midnight. Amen. I come to myself in the back seat of these two elderly sisters' car, and I said, where am I at? They said, preacher, we go. They called me preacher. Said, we're just about home. We're just about to turn in your driveway. Well, then it dawned on me. I was supposed to have been with my great aunt who had heart surgery. Amen. At 9:30. It's way out of midnight. Nobody's staying with her but me. She lived behind me. I got out. My mom's not saved. Them two ladies had to help me in the house. I couldn't even stand up. Amen. My mom come out and said, where in the world have you been? And all I could do was laugh at her. I'm telling you, I'm so full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. She said, son, you ain't waiting on you. She still had her back porch light on. You know, she can't go to church. Amen. So my mama fed me something. Told one of the ladies at work the next day from my church. She said, I don't know what y'all did to my boy last night. Said he's so drunk. Said I had to feed him a sandwich just to get him where he could walk right. Amen. I ate me something and headed out to the house. Brother Brady, I'm walking out to her house. Trying to make it to her door, and about the time I get on the porch, open the door, and sit down on her couch, she's sitting in the recliner just a smiling. About that time, I'm preaching on Saul now. Stay with me. About that time, I said, I'm sorry, Aunt Bessie. Hallelujah. She's going to be with the Lord now. Amen. I said, I'm sorry, Aunt Bessie. I'm late. I said, I got drunk in the Holy Ghost, I guess, tonight. And I said, they had to bring me home in the car. And all of a sudden, she didn't say nothing. She just kept rocking and smiling. About time, she said, oh, boy. She said, that ain't none. She said, I remember the days when we got so drunk, they had to put us in the wagon. And I'm telling you, and she said, Dad, it come unglued again. I like to tore her living room up. Thinking that the same Holy Ghost that fell on her, that you had to be brought home in the wagon. It's the same Holy Ghost that's fallen on me and causing me to do the same things that she did. I'm going to say it again. You ain't got to learn how to dance like we dance. Let the Holy Ghost get on you. You'll shout like grandma. I'm telling you, when I married my wife, are you listening to me? Or my wife married me, everything I had before, I had a nice vehicle, had a little trailer, I've been a full-time evangelist. Now I'm pastoring a church, got a single-wide trailer on my granddaddy's lake, and I got, you know, different things that I had prepared before I got married. And the day I married her, everything I had become hers. Everything she had became mine. I come to tell you, when you get born again, everything that's mine's yours. Everything that was Abraham's is yours. Everything that God has promised is yours. You ain't got to have a granddaddy in this. You ain't got to have a grandma in this. Am I right? Have you ever seen somebody get born again that don't know a thing, but they act like you? Come on here. You know why? This inheritance is for everybody. I said this inheritance is for everybody. Praise God. The same anointing that was on our forefathers is on us. Praise God. I walked in a certain area and preached, and the preacher got up and said, "Dear God, he preaches like Grandpa so-and-so and Grandpa this and Grandpa that." He went naming all them forefathers from their movement. Praise God. Are you listening to it? I go to different movements of different fellowships. Preach this, and man, you preach like so-and-so, so-and-so. You'll know why, same Holy Ghost. They don't take it with them when they die. You ain't hear me. I said, they don't take it with them when they die. Amen. That robe, Brother Kenny said it like this. That robe that the Bible said that they made the priest just says wholeness under the Lord. It ain't got Greg Atkins' name on it. It ain't got Brother Brady's name on it. You'll know why. When we die, we don't get to take it with us. But he takes it off the one who dies and places it on the next generation. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I come to tell you there's some mantles in this house. I come to tell you there's some ephods in this house. You need to pick up the mantle of God. You can't learn how to preach. You can't learn how to shout. Let the Holy Ghost do it. Praise God. I got to preach. I got to come down here. Spirit of God came on Saul. Bible said when it did, he preached like they did. What an experience. Brother Kyle turned him into another man. I mean, he went from looking for daddy's donkeys to preaching. Praise God. I went to just going to church that night to preaching. Hallelujah. With a friend of mine. But nevertheless, Spirit of God, what a move of God. Bible then says that Saul hides himself. Samuel said, I found us a king. Where is he? He's hid among the stuff. He don't want to go. He's embarrassed. He feels like he's incapable. And the Bible said he's going to do it again. Men whose hearts had been touched by God. Hallelujah. God moved on him, gave him everything he had. What an experience. The only problem is this. The Bible said that Saul becomes the king of Israel. And the first mission God gives him. You're going to stay with me, aren't you? I've got a long way to go. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Bible said that Saul went to do his mission and God said to him through the man of God, I want you to get rid of the Amalekites. I have prophesied that I'm going to destroy them for years. And I have set it in order for this place and this time. And you are the man that I have chosen to annihilate them from the face of the earth. I never want to battle them no more. I never want them to aggravate my people no more. I want them completely annihilated. I want you to get rid of every Amalekite there is. See, they had been a thorn in the side of Israel for years. They had been a problem. There was always sticking up their ugly head. Amen. Just like the flesh. Can you shout amen? And the Bible says that God said, Saul, I want you to kill him. I mean, I want you to kill the deer. If a dog's got a name, Amalekite, on it, kill him. I want everything about him annihilated. I don't want you to keep their gold. I don't want you to keep, amen, the silver. I don't want you to keep their vessels. I don't want you to take the spoils. I don't want nothing that's been contaminated by any Amalekite. I want you to kill the children. Come on, God meant business. I want you to kill the babies. Why? A baby can't do a thing. Oh, but a baby can grow up. When that baby grows up, it'll kill you. Can you shout amen? And what is representing us, you can't leave one thing unturned in this flesh. When you get born again, you got to destroy it all. You can't trust this flesh even in the smallest form. Even in the weak. Anybody with me tonight? He said you got to get rid of it all. Anything that's got flesh on it, drop it. Anything that carnal mind. Amen. Are you hearing me preach? Amen. Saul says, all right, Samuel, I'll obey the Lord. Saul got him up. It's God's time and it's God's day. And they head out to get him. But the Bible said in the middle of all of this, amen, the Bible said that when they got there, they began to take the spoils. Not only that, but they kept the king. And they had to keep the children. Amen. They began to take them. Amen. We know that. How many knows the story? Amen. That one, it was an Amalekite that ended up helping Saul take his life. And you remember what he said when they asked him, who are you? When David asked him who he was, where you come from? He said, I am an Amalekite. I've been in the house of a stranger. You know what that lets me know? One of them soldiers that took one of them babies had raised that Amalekite. And it ended up destroying his life. Oh, I feel like preaching to you tonight. Amen. But anyway, Saul sets out, but he keeps the king. He disobeys the Lord. Now he thinks, this is one thing we need to learn from this, that 90% obeying God is enough. 90% obeying God is not enough. You got to fully 100% obey Him. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Not 90%, not 95%, but 100%. Amen. The Bible said, now you got to watch the attitude of that man, of that king. The Bible said he come marching home with victory. We've annihilated him. Hallelujah. He is proud, amen, of what he has done, because in his mind he really believes he has done everything that God, amen, he really thinks he's all right. We live in a church age, honey, that thinks they're all right. They really believe that everything is okay. They believe that 90% obedience is good enough. But God sets us no right here that I don't care how good you feel. I don't care how proud you are of your 90%. You've got to go all the way. Well, the devil don't want me to say what I got to say tonight, but I come to say it anyway. 90%, he's proud of himself. He even sets up a throne or sets up a memorial. Amen, for to be worshipped. Bible says all of a sudden, Samuel, amen, God moves on him. And he hears the bleeding of the oxen. He hears the spoils. Amen. He rose up and God said, you go down there and you tell that boy, hallelujah, amen, that he's upset me. I'm going to reject him from the kingdom. Are you listening to me, preach? The man of God, the Holy Ghost is coming in that building. Are you listening to me? Are coming to that house, coming to where Saul was, that land. Amen. When he walks up to him, Saul walks up to him proud. Don't fear anything. Amen. He felt like he'd done it all. Amen. Brother Frazier, when he walked up to him with that proudness, amen, he said, how you doing, man of God? Amen. What do you got to say? And he what shattered him. Samuel looked back at him and said, what do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Amen. You haven't obeyed the Lord. Saul looked at him and said, oh, yes, I have too. Amen. You've made it wrong. He tells the Holy Ghost, come on here. Tells the man of God, you're wrong. Amen. I'm all right. He said, then what's the bleeding of the oxen that I hear? What's that I hear? Amen. What's that? Amen. The evidence is here. Saul says, but Samuel, I did it. I killed them all. I only kept the king. Only kept a few children. And only kept the best of the oxen. But he said, God said that you were to annihilate them all. Amen. You have We got a modern Pentecostal world. Amen. Come on here, that does a lot of offering. A lot of, are you listening to me? They do a lot of effort. A lot of good. But I come to tell you, you've got to be completely obedient and come under subjection to the Word of God. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm going to get in trouble tonight, but I'm already in the middle of this. You got this field over here. You see this field right here? Amen. This is one field. Amen. I'm going to call it my charismatic modern Pentecostal field. You got this field over here. I'm going to call it my independent, or not my independent, but my holiness field. Come on here, boy. You got this field here. Amen's got weeds growing up everywhere. There's so much carnal stuff in it. So much worldliness in it. Come on here. I mean, they pouring in seed. They're giving to the poor. They got soup kitchens. I mean, they're taking care, doing everything that the Bible says, except living sanctified, living dedicated, living consecrated. They forget that part of the Bible. And they sit back and say, look at our field. But they still starve to death because the weed chokes out the life. Are you listening to me? And they're dying. They're starving to death. While they're dancing, while they're shouting, they're still dying. Well, you got this field over here. Come on here. There ain't a weed in the field. I said, there ain't a weed in the field. I plucked up every worldly weed. I mean, if a worldliness even sticks it, even them new converts that comes in. Come on here, we let them know right quick like, you got to change the way you dress. You got to change the way you do if you're going to be in our field. Because dare say let a visiting preacher walk in and catch a weed in your church. It's going to hurt your name. So I'd rather hurt that new convert and drive them out of the house of God than to let them sit in my church and grow and become the man or woman that they need to be, because I don't want nobody to think I've gone wildly. Oh, you might as well help me preach tonight. I said, you might as well help me preach. I know I'm 32, but I've been preaching. I ain't been preaching that long as some of you, but I've been in this thing long enough. I've seen a little bit of stuff in my life. Amen. They sit back and say, look at my wholeness field. Look how holy my field is. Ain't a weed in it nowhere. Ain't got an ounce of the world. Ain't got an ounce of sin. Come on here. And they sit back. Come on here. And we don't give. And we don't give out and outreach, and we don't work the lost, and we don't try to win people, and we don't pour in the seed, and we don't pour in the food. Somebody help me while I preach. We sit back and brag how holy we are. How holy. Come on, you got this church over here who's holier than that church. That church is holy. Well, we don't wear watches. Well, we don't wear red. Well, we don't wear open toes. God, give me a break here tonight. Amen. I tell you what makes you holy. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes you holy. You're not holy because what you don't do. You're holy because of blood. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We get in a competition who can be holier than who. Well, I don't wear Tommy Hilfiger. Good for you. I do. I pay $2 for it at Christian Mission. It's cheaper than your Walmart shirt. So shout a while. Hallelujah. Come on here. I don't part my hair on the left side. Brother Brady don't part his at all. Amen. That's my buddy. I really love you. I really do. I really do like you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I part mine on one side. So what? I part mine on the other. When people look at me, they say, look how holy I said, no, they don't, baby. I said, all they do is say, you're just another part of like the Amish. Come on here. Or another religious system. The only way they're going to know us by who we are is by the fruit of the Spirit. By the fruit of the power of God. Yes, you're to live right. Yes, you're to dress right. But I come to tell you, 90% obedience, whether it's that way or that way, it's not enough. But there is a generation that God is raising up who wants to live right, but they done losing you. He says, I've done right. Samuel said, no, you hadn't, son. God's rejected you. Then he fell on his knees and repented. He said, I repent. They did it. It's their fault. If it wasn't for them, come on here. And God said, no, son. I have rejected you from being king. You are no longer going to be the man that I'm going to use. I want God to help me, preachers. Brother Brady, come. I'm sorry I'm making you get up and down. Come. This time the Bible says that when he turns that second or third time and says to him, just put this right here on your pocket or just hold it behind you. About that time, Saul's on his knees crying. And the man of God says, I'm rending this. About the time he turns, says, I'm leaving you. He grabs his mantle and rips it. When Samuel feels the ripping of that mantle, he's holding a rag in his hand. He turns around and looks at him and he said, just like my mantle, stay right here, brother, has been rent in your hands. And the Moshikonamai, God said, I've rent the kingdom out of your hands. You'll never be who I called you to be. Hallelujah. I'm removing you from the kingdom. But what moves me, Brother Ben, is this. Instead of grabbing that man of God and saying, I don't want this rag. I want you. Don't leave me, sweet Spirit of God. Don't leave me. Don't walk away from me. The Bible says, he grabs him and says, excuse me. Will you least, I said, go back and worship with me so the elders will think I'm all right.
Come on. Come on. Oh, my.
Will you go back and have church with me and just stand beside me so they think I'm okay? And Samuel looks at him and said, I'll worship with you one more time. And they went that day and he stood beside him. Oh, I wish I could preach like I feel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church as usual. Hallelujah. With a rent kingdom. A rejected man. Come on here. The Bible even says he prophesies later on in and he's still rejected. Come on, are you helping me preach? He stands there and all the elders are rejoicing. Come on here. They're excited. They're magnifying the Lord. Saul standing there with Samuel standing beside him, a broken-hearted man of God. The prophet of God's about to die inside because he knows that man of God's been rent. That king's been rent. And Saul's smiling, waving his hand. And everybody's rejoicing because everything's all right. Are you hearing me? Amen. Just let everybody think I'm okay. Let everybody. But the Bible said that man turned and left Saul that day and did not return until the day that he died. Are you here with me tonight? Oh God, the Holy Ghost is walking off that stage and all he cares about is his image. All he cares about is what people think about him. All he cares is everybody thinks I'm all right. It doesn't matter that he's lost the presence. It doesn't matter that he's lost the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter that he's lost the anointing. It doesn't matter that he's lost the kingdom. All that matters to him is that he looks good in front of everybody. I come to tell you the Holy Ghost spoke to that man over here while I go in interpretation and said, hear my words. I have placed in my servant's heart tonight. Come on here. That's why Brother Eastman had me in this pulpit. That's why I wrestled this message up and pumped sick in my stomach. Are you here with me? You know why? Are you listening to me tonight? It don't matter how good I look. It don't matter where I've been. Are you hearing me? Amen. What matters? Do I have the anointing in my life? Do I have the presence of God? I mean, he's going to give me about 15 more minutes in this house. Come on, raise your hand. 15, 30, 45, 60. Thank you. All of a sudden, as the man of God leaves, the crowd leaves, Saul looks at his ripped piece of skirt, and all he has is a memory of what he had one time. All he has is a memory. And he continued church as usual. When God gave this to me, it shook me in my shoes. God said, my people have learned how to have church from memory. I want to ask you why you come to the altar. Answer me. Tell me why you come to the altar. Because that's the way it's always been done. Well, it's quiet tonight. Well, I'm right in the middle of the will of God. You ain't a shouting with me right now. And I really don't want you to shout with me right now because I want you to hear me. Is this thing on tonight? Turn me up. Why is it I go to holiness meetings and as soon as you hit one note, people stand? Come on, get quiet on me. Come on, I want you to stand when I hit a note. Because that's what we've always done. You be seated. I've been in places where they wouldn't have moved a God in a million miles of there. They wouldn't have moved a God in a thousand miles of there. But they hit a note and everybody in the house stands up. Wouldn't have moved a God one. God's a million miles from that place. You want to know why? We've learned how to do it. We have learned from memory. Oh, I feel like I'm preaching here tonight. Hallelujah. Why do I clap my hands? Because that's what they've always done. Why do I raise them? Because that's what they've always done. You know what we are? We're living off the memories of yesterday. We're copying our grandpas. Come on here. But we're not producing what our grandpa produced. And we're not seeing what our grandpa saw. Come on here. You might as well help me while I preach tonight. Thank God for a holiness young people that want to live right. Are you hearing me? But God, help us not to live a standard from our memory. It will get us nowhere to live it from memory. It must be a standard that's birthed out of your experience with God. Hallelujah. I said, I want my kids to live right. But I tell them I don't have a rule book in this church. But if you'll get a life with the Holy Ghost, He'll convict you. He'll lead you in the right way. I ain't come to Pennsylvania to play with you. I come with a burden on my heart so strong that I've been sick in my stomach for 3 weeks. Hallelujah. I don't know why there's such a heaviness. But I come to tell you, I don't want just a memory in my generation. I want the whole mantle. I want the move of God. I want the power of God. Hallelujah. This boy caught my attention last night. Keep me turned up. Hallelujah, unless this thing's a dying. Give me a new battery. Amen. But this young boy, I said, you know what? He said, Brother Greg, I'm from Export. Been Export for a year. I said, this is where I'm from. I said, well, that's great. That's my grandpa there. He's so proud of you. Hallelujah. I mean, like a hero. He said, that's my granddaddy. Amen. I said, well, that's good. I said, you got only 2 more years at Export. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to come home. Amen. Try to help here. I said, that's the greatest thing you can do. I said, we send them to Bible college. They end up going somewhere else and don't come home. Hallelujah. But he has a burden. Amen. For this campgrounds and this man of God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? But you know what? He's trying to find it. I want more than just a memory. I want to know more than just what I've seen. I want to do more than just copy my grandpa's worship. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Because grandpa's had a move of God. Grandpa's had an experience. Are you listening to me? But there's a generation. Listen, we've had church long enough with a memory. We've had church long enough with a rag. There's a generation saying, it ain't enough anymore. It's not enough anymore. It's not enough anymore. God help me. That's why our kids backslide soon as camp meeting's over. That's why they backslide soon as youth camp's over. All they have is a memory. But God, I don't want a memory now. I'm sick of a memory. I want a mantle. I want a move of God.
They listen to tapes of us and they try to preach just like them. Grandpa nailed it. I'm going to nail it. But Grandpa nailed it because of a passion burden in prayer that God birthed in him, because it was destroying his people. And when he preached it, God anointed it. But when we preach it from a memory, there ain't no anointing in it. It don't bring the same effect. There is a new, not a new, but a fresh anointing. Are you listening to me? I said there's a fresh anointing for this age group, for this generation right now. Hallelujah. I got to quit. Man, I don't want to. When God gave this message to me, Brother Andrews, God burned it in my heart. He spoke to me to go to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 5. He told me to read it, and I've read it 100 times, Brother Dave. And I couldn't get what he's telling me. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. You want to turn there? You can. The Bible says this woman's asleep. Her heart waketh, but she don't get out of bed. Are you listening to me? The Bible says she woke up. Her heart woke up, but she didn't get out of bed. She said, I've done put my shoes off. I done got into bed. How should I get up and defile myself? But it's the beloved that's knocking. And the Bible said, after a while, she jumped up and ran to the door, opened it up, and the myrrh dripped from the doorknob. Are you still with me as I try to get to a close? The myrrh dripped from the doorknob, and the Bible says, on her hands, and she began to run. Her beloved had withdrew himself. But the Holy Ghost spoke. Ain't it awesome that the Holy Ghost knows exactly? Holy Ghost moved on me to have this message and these 3 messages in tongue that line up right with what I'm going to preach. The Bible says she began to run. She's not like Saul. She ain't happy with the myrrh. She's hunting a man. She's running. I would have got some of you jump up tonight and say, where's my beloved? Have you seen him? She begins to run throughout the palace. Say, have you seen my beloved anywhere? Have you seen him? Have you seen him? Have you seen where my beloved is? God, give us a generation today that says, I'm not happy with having the myrrh drip from the doorknob. I want him. But what got a hold of me, Brother Eastman? Brother Brady, is this. They said, who is your beloved among all these other beloveds? And she begins to describe him. He's white, ruddy. She begins to so describe him that it moves us. Some of our praise and worship songs have these words in it. It is the greatest worship of the entire Old Testament. Her words, listen. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Anybody ever use that phrase? This is where it came from. His eyes are as the eye, or his head is most fine gold. His locks are bushy, black as a raven. His eyes are as eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set.
His cheeks are as beds of spices as sweet flowers. His lips are like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with pearl. His belly is a bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedar. His mouth is most sweet. Then you can't find any more words in here. Anybody ever use these words? Yea, he is all together lovely. God said, read it. And I read it. And he said, read it again. I read it. I said, I know it. It's the greatest worship of the whole Testament. Psalms don't even put it in words like that. When she got through, they said, we'll know him. Hallelujah. She was saying, you'll know him when you see him, because there ain't none like him. Brother Benny Sutherland preached a message one time from that scripture. Ain't nobody like him. Hallelujah. And he preached it as that is the most, amen. He preached about how she described him, wonderful worship. And so I've read it 100 times, heard preachers preach on it. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Ain't nobody like Jesus. She describes the beloved to detail. She says his eyes, his belly, he's altogether loving. I read it, and the Holy Ghost said to me, read it again. I read it again. I said, I understand, Lord. It's the greatest form of worship. I mean, she just has got some awesome words in describing her beloved. We know it's a representation between the church and the Savior. Amen. I see it, Lord. I see it. But no, the Lord said, read it. And I read it. I had to read it about 6 times. Then the Holy Ghost spoke to me, Brother Eastman, and said, she describes to detail who he is. The Spirit said to me, but was she looking at me, at him, when she described him? It's the greatest form of worship, the greatest description. And the Holy Ghost said, he wasn't even there. She did all of that, and we preached from it, but it was all from her memory. You ain't getting it like I got. How many loves the book of Psalms? He's my rock. He's my refuge. He's my high tower. But nobody gets into the intimate detail of him like she did. No, David don't even describe him to detail as she did. And the Lord said he wasn't even there. She did all of that from memory. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, don't you ever mistake your ability to preach me as having me in your life. You are not shouting now. Don't you ever mistake your ability to dance as having me in your life. Don't you ever mistake your ability to be able to worship as having me. Because this woman can worship me, amen, come on here, in such a way and describe the beloved in such a way that we use the words that she described. But yet she did it all from her memory. What he said to my heart, I have a people. Are you hearing me preach? I have a people who know exactly how to do it, and that because they can do it, and because it is good worship, and because it is good praise, they mistaken for having me, but it's all coming from their memory. It's coming from their lips, the Holy Ghost said, and not their hearts. It's coming from their mind. Oh, somebody help me preach here tonight. I'm telling you, I've had a belly full of memory shouting, memory dancing, memory worship, memory praise, memory altar calls. I want a mantle. I said, I want a mantle. I got a question for this Pennsylvania camp meeting. Do you want a memory or do you want a mantle? I'm quitting, I promise. Brother Brady, I won't make you walk over here. Hallelujah. I use Brother Ben. Come here. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to take this. Amen. You're going to be Elijah. Here, hold this. Praise God. Elisha's plow. How many are going to stay with me? I'm about through, I promise. Sister, come on to the organ. Hallelujah. Elisha's plowing in the field. All of a sudden, here comes Elijah. Brush that mantle on. Brush that coat on. Keep on walking. Just brush me with it. Hallelujah. Do you feel that? Hallelujah. He said, man of God, stop. He said, let me go tell my mama bye. I'm going with you. Man of God looks at him and said, what do you got to do with me? Why do you want me? He said, I don't know. But whatever you just did, something got a hold of me. And if that's a taste of it, I want it in fullness. Hallelujah. And we read where Elisha follows the man of God everywhere he goes. We think it's a few chapters, but it's according to history, it's over 8 years. You walk, I'll follow you. Hallelujah. Elisha stays right with him. He's chasing a taste. Amen. I said he's chasing a taste. 8 years. I want more of what I tasted. I want more of what I felt. We're living in a day and hour where we're running after a taste. We're running after something we've had a memory of. Hallelujah. But the good thing is, are you listening to me? This generation says, we had a taste of it. That's why we're still here. That's why we're living right. That's why we're doing right. Because we want it. But Elijah said, I want the mantle. I want the move of God. Do you want a memory tonight? Or do you want a mantle? Some of you, come brush me again, Brother Ben. Hallelujah. Woo! And you never leave the field. But here comes another camp meeting. Brush me. Woo! Just a taste. Here comes another revival. Amen. But here comes another meeting. We never move. We just keep getting it. Hallelujah. But you know what God's just saying tonight? Amen. In this Pennsylvania, right here on New York line. Amen. I'm not much of a preacher, but I'm doing my best to obey the Holy Ghost. I come to tell you, ask you the question, do you want a memory or do you want a mantle? I'm telling you, when Elijah come by, come on, Brother Pia. Amen. Do it again. How about you tonight? Why don't you throw down your oxen? Why don't you throw down your plows? And why don't you say, you're not getting away from me? Wherever you go, I'm a going. Wherever you go, I'm a going. I'm going with a mantle. I want the move of God. Come on here. I'm not picking on this side. Y'all think I ain't preaching to y'all over there, do you? Hallelujah. I want you to wave your mantle, your memory. Come on here. Hallelujah. We come to church. Amen. You side want to get in on this? Hallelujah. 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 Am I all right tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. Baby, you've been getting in the whole time I've been preaching about here, standing up. You wave that memory. Come on, wave it. We come to church and we wave our memory. Hallelujah. I remember. I got a memory. Hallelujah. Now you know why the man of the house, the man with wisdom, and the man of God of this house said, come on, Brother Atkins. I didn't want to preach, to be honest with you. We could have just had some more altar singing and could have went. But the man of God said, it's time for him to come. You want to know why? Because God says, do you want a memory or do you want a mantle? Get ready, sis. I want to ask you tonight. You can keep your memory if you want to, or you can throw your memory away and come after the mantle. Some of you need to throw your memory away right here tonight. I want a move of God. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Greg, that's crazy. But I'm telling you, if you want it, you got to act just like this brother just said. You got to leave your seat. You got to get desperate. You got to get a desire. Amen. Listen, I'm not going to lay hands on anybody at first. Come on, right up here, run. Start praying for a while. Hallelujah. I can't give it to you. I can't. It ain't no impartation. You got to seek your way through. You got to seek your way through. I don't want a memory of God. I want a mantle. My God, I wish I could have preached this. Oh, Lord. you feel like getting on your knees, get on your knees. Because this is desperation. Come on, get on. If you feel like getting on your knees, get on your knees. Don't you wait for a word of prophecy to come on you. You seek God. A word of prophecy has come. I've spoken in the Spirit in this word. The Holy Ghost is saying, memory or man. That's all right, sis. You don't have to sing, honey. Just worship. Go ahead, let him help you. Come on, saints of God. Come on, young people. You're not waiting on me. You gotta seek him. You gotta pray. We need some dance music. No, you don't. We need some shout music. No, you don't. You need to seek God. Oh, God, I'm in me. But I'm tired of living in a memory world. Saul died in a memory world. Brother Spence. But Elisha died with a mantle. Oh, are we going to be Sauls or are we going to be Elishas? Oh, God. I want to come to the altar, but I want to come because the Holy Ghost draws me. I want to clap my hands, but I want to clap my hands because the Holy Ghost draws me. I want to stand up when they're singing, but I want to do it because the Holy Ghost is moving and I feel God's presence. This is a Holy Ghost altar call. Praise God, I know. Come on here, I just feel this way tonight. I'm not trying to change the... I know you're used to for the preacher come laying hands on you. But I feel just for a while right here tonight. I don't want, amen, really want anybody praying for anybody else. I want you digging for yourself. That's it, young people. That's it. That's it, Sunday school teacher. You say, I'm tired of teaching from memory. That's it, choir leader. Say, I'm tired of leading choir from memory. Oh, God. Oh, I'm tired of preaching from memory. I'm tired of praying from memory. You feel like singing so.